Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today is Pentecost Sunday, where we commemorate and celebrate the time when Holy Spirit downpoured on earth after Christ had ascended, and then the Holy Spirit fell upon the church in the book of Acts. And so today we commemorate, celebrate, remind ourselves that Pentecost is still for today. And Pentecost today means that God's given gifts is still for us. There's a better way of life for all of us, and that way of life is by the power of the Holy Spirit, living our Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. So allow me to read today's verse, which a passage comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1 to 11 and verse 27 to 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To the one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, one another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I skip to verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Here's the word today. Now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Father, cause our hearts, our ears, to be open to the word of the Lord. Even in the reading of the word, the power of God has already been released. Cause those, oh God, who are within this place and online listening to this message to open their hearts, their minds, their souls to the things of God so that they will see a better way of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you do not have one of these sheets that was given out, such as this, would you raise a hand right now and the ushers will bring it as I begin to preach this word. So if you don't have one of these spiritual gift sheets, I'm going to ask you right now just to raise a hand, and they will come and they'll hand it to you as I preach. I see a few hands there. Pentecost today, which is God's given gifts, and that makes a better way of life. Many people are struggling. Oh, I don't know how to be a Christian. I don't know how to keep going. The problem is God has provided and prepared and planned a better way for us, but we need to step into it by acknowledging and believing and waiting on the power of the Holy Spirit to be endued upon us. Spiritual gifts. Here's what Smith Wigglesworth, a great writer and devotional writer, says. He says, when you truly understand how rich, how powerful, how blessed you are in Christ, you will desire nothing else but to worship Christ. The power of Christ falls upon us as we worship. And we're going to segue from this week on into a phase of worshiping. Then I'm going to be teaching and preaching on worship. We're going to have expressions of worship. Starting tonight, our own Reverend Pat Russell will be here. Many of you have never come in on a Sunday night. There were times growing up, we went to church 2-3 times a day. This church, when I used to preach here in the day, had an 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 6 o'clock service. How many remember me preaching 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 6 o'clock? And God gave strength to do it all, and we did not lose anything, and we didn't lose our jobs, and the kids didn't graduate. They made it through school because they had more power in them to overcome the life stresses that they're faced with now without the power of God in their lives. I'm encouraging everyone to be out for worship tonight. We have many different types and expressions of worship. Friday night, we had a powerful time of worship, a different expression. Tonight will be a completely different expression. There are multiple different types of expressions of worship. Be sure to be here tonight. How many have heard Reverend Pat Russell before? So you cannot afford, those who have not heard, then you need to be out tonight, 6 o'clock, and we will get you out early enough so that little Johnny and little Susie can go to bed on time, because, you know, they will just crash if you don't. Praise be to God. Don't know how we made it back in those days when people used to take the bus after church at 9 o'clock to go home. Anybody remember that? Not all of you. Praise the Lord. Last week, the message centered on not being unaware, and instead be aware of what God requires of you in conducting and in fulfilling His will. This week's message will be centered on not being ignorant, but instead be cognizant of what God requires of you for the life He has given you. You can accomplish more in 1 year functioning in the will of God and under the spirit and anointing of God than you will in 50 or 100 years doing your own thing. Anyone, is there an amen there? Amen. So Paul in the chapter 12, and in fact for the next 3 chapters, he begins to share how believers should operate in the gifts of the Spirit as a natural functioning of their spiritual lives in Christ. He points this out, and I want you to know what I'm teaching today, I'm preaching today, is an overview. In the fall, I'm going to take each one bit by bit, because we're going to become such a spirit-empowered church that everyone understands and knows their spiritual gift and begins to live it out loud, so that we're not beaten and our families and children and generations are not beaten and whipped by the enemy because we lack spiritual power. We can set the church ablaze spiritually, or we can rip the church apart carnally. The choice is ours. Do you know, the latter is something that people pride and strive in, ripping the church apart, complaining, biting, this, everything's wrong, don't like this, people want that, people want that. I'm going to tell you right now, friends, online and in-house, everything we want is not everything we need. What we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is step into the gifts of God and instead set the church ablaze so that multitudes come and give their hearts to the Lord. Spiritual gifts means the manifestation of God's Spirit, demonstrations of God's Spirit, expressions of God's Spirit, the evidence of the operation of God's Spirit upon the life of all believers. And we have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling us after we make the decision to accept Christ. The day you said, "Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior," Holy Spirit entered your life. That means all spiritual gifts are available to you. God will give you the one he knows you can handle, but they're all available to you. And it's time for you to step into that and stop living under the punishment of the enemy, under the lacking of confidence of who you are in Christ. Christ and step into the power of the Holy Spirit. As all of you know, I've been an evangelist for most of my ministry life, 20 years on the road. I walked in and out of situations. I walked in and out of chaos. I walked in and out of demonic strongholds. But I never feared one because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Put a pin right there. I'm going to say something right now that I know I've experienced when I was on the road. While I was in Liberia during the time of Ebola, I wasn't there for Ebola. I was in Liberia after Ebola, before Ebola, because I've been into Liberia ministering right after the war many times. I was there at least 8 times ministering in crusades. And the people would share with me, "Pastor, these diseases are dropped off in our land where we have so much commodity that the world wants. Now I just heard that the Congo has an outbreak, an unstoppable outbreak of Ebola." Can I tell you something, friends? I know they'll say it came from a monkey or it came from something, but I'm going to tell you it came from a lab. And that the Congo has $24 billion worth of commodities in its earth that's untapped. So I'm not fooled by the devil. I've already started praying. Whoever dropped it off, give it back to them. Those who believe me can pray with me. Those who don't believe me, reject it. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. That's why God gives us wisdom. When you have $24 billion worth of untapped minerals in your ground, something went wrong that a disease could just blaze over a country that has no help. Somebody carry that for me, would you? Is there anybody who will carry that in prayer for me? Let me see your hand. Just put it up. Would you begin to pray? God, reverse it. God, even stop it and shock the world that God the healer. I believe in God the healer. And I prayed amongst them many times, and I believe God will do it again and reverse the order of it in Jesus' name. When God sent the blessed Holy Spirit to abide on earth after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ from this physical earth, and he left us his empowerment to aid us in our own physical beings. How do we do it? By his supernatural touch. These gifts are special God-given ability and God-given desire, God-given empowerment, so that we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ and build up the church which represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't want us to walk around earth like puny, wimpy, scared, frightened of everything, believers in him. He says the same power in him dwells in us. So if that same power dwells in us, we need to know how to stop devils, demons, powers, and principality and do it in confidence because of who God is in us. That's why when I share strong things, people think I'm afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Do you know why? He who lives in me, greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. You need to get that confidence in your spirit that God has equipped you for something greater, and you need to step into it in the name of Jesus. The gift showed up in the early church immediately after Christ ascended, which meant it was no longer Jesus Christ who was doing miracles on earth. It was now the apostles and the disciples, and they knew him firsthand. But when he ascended and the Holy Spirit descended, 120 went out full of the Holy Ghost and set the world ablaze. That's why we know of the power of the Holy Spirit today. So I want to tell you, last week I mentioned that the Christ ushered in the dispensation of grace. And that time frame of grace is coming to an end. But we need to recognize greater things must be done before that time comes. God's grace means God's favor, God's love, God's undeserved merit that we obtain, which we cannot work for, we cannot pay for. It is a spiritual enablement that God uses to take us out of our own sufficiency and enable us to operate in His sufficiency, because He forgave us of our sins and He's given us a new life and a new platform, a new journey, a new destination, new hope, and new challenges. When God's grace is upon our life, we need to move like we understand what His grace means to us. So the purpose of these gifts are multifaceted, as God's grace is to us. The purpose of the gifts is this: it helps us Christians should be Christ followers, helps us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It gives us the confidence to wage war, righteous war, against the enemy. I'm going to tell you, folks, I can only give you my experience, but when I stood on platforms around the world, when I stood in Uganda in a place called Gulu in the midst of war, I didn't stand there as a young preacher going, "Oh God, get me back to Canada, they could kill me." I stood there going, "God, let many be saved before we leave this place. Protect us." We are watching our children fall apart. Everybody has ADHD. Everybody's got some designation. And the church are like, "Wimp, get ready to wage spiritual war. Devil, back up. You're putting things on our children that are not in the Word of God." There's a rebellion. And there's an unleashing of attack upon our children's minds. Parents, some of you are struggling. You don't know what else to do. You've done it all. And doctors are there telling you, "Oh, they got this label and that label." Every day they create a new label. Get some anointing in your spirit and bind those powers and principality from your children and your grandchildren. It's real, friends. It's real. Some of you are saying, "Oh, I don't believe these kids have it." It's real. They have it, but we got to bind it in Jesus' name and break the power of darkness upon their lives. I get mad at the devil. Forgive me. The purpose of the gifts, it teaches us all things, giving us direct insight when we just don't know what to do. How do I lead when I don't know what to do? And I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to do. I don't ask any of you what to do. I ask Him what to do. He counsels us when no one else gives us the right answer. Do you know what? Counselors are giving all their little, they're giving all they can. But we have so much colossal problems now that we better go back to who? The counselor. The counselor. Because He's a comforter and a counselor. The gifts of the Spirit invokes hope when situations seems hopeless. Any of you ever been in a hopeless? You go, "Come on, give me a hand." You ever been in a hopeless? Did He take you out of it? Did you do it yourself? Couldn't have done it yourself, because that's what power of the Spirit does. He grants peace when no other human can even understand why you're living in the peace of God. I want to tell you, Kevin, I know you feel it when you think of your cousin being gone. And every time as a minister brother, I say, "God, how could you take a mighty psalmist minister?" And then I have to say, "God, give me peace to understand this." When I watch the disparity in life and I don't know what else to think, I've got to say, "God, let your peace come that passeth what?" That's the gift of the Spirit. He grants that to us. He enables us with His power to have faith so that His ability begins to work in us. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, these three chapters point out the importance to us. This fall, I'm going to break it down bit by bit, because we're going to be walking in the power of the Spirit. We're not going to continue to be a wimpy church where people think they can show up and sit down with their demon spirit. I'm going to tell you, some demons are going to fly out of here, because we're going to get the church ready for Jesus. The Lord's promise then and now is, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all people," not some people. All people. Who are those all people? All Christians who want Him. He'll pour it out. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. We've given up on our sons and daughters, saying, "Oh, millennials have left the church. Oh, they don't want to come." The word of God says they will be prophesying. That means they're going to have to be back in the house to prophesy of the goodness of God. Old men will dream dreams. Do you know what, old men? Whatever you are. Louis, why are you laughing? Come on. You, old men, you know what the Bible's saying? You're going to stand with the young ones and tell them what God took you through. You're going to go back and say, you know what? There was a time we didn't even know what to do. And there's a whole young generation of men, fathers, young husbands that don't know what to do. Old men, get up and do something and prophesy something so that the next generation knows they're going to make it. Your young men will see visions. Oh, glory be to God. Where's Pastor Nate and your youth leader and all of you guys? You're supposed to be having visions. You're supposed to be having insight into what God is going to do. You're supposed to be seeing. When I see something, you should be seeing it already and saying, Pastor, we're with you, because you have the creativity. That's why he gave you the vision, not the old men. The old men have the experience. Young men, you got to get vision. Means you use your creativity, but you say, God, what is it that you need in the kingdom? Every one of you've got a gift God will use, but you've got to bring it in subjection to the Holy Spirit so God can use you. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus prophesied and promised. In the Old Testament, he prophesied. In the New Testament, Jesus prophesied the same thing. The same thing you see in Joel 2. He had it in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And so I've got to skip along here. Oh, help me, Jesus, 9 o'clock service. I feel a preach today, and I don't have time for the preach. But here's the thing. Don't be ignorant about the spiritual gifts from God. That's what the Bible says, not me. Don't be ignorant. The Bible declares and demonstrates unmistakably there are spiritual gifts, and these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, and they're given for kingdom ministry. Therefore, every believer should not remain ignorant that the gifts are for them. There are people living in ignorance. Well, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in that. The gifts of the Spirit are in the Bible. You better get ready to believe it and ask God, which one is mine? Which one will you give me? Which one can I handle? Which one will make me a better Christian? Which one will make me a better Christ follower? That's the question, not whether or not it exists. Well, I don't know. I don't have time for your philosophy. The Bible is the philosophy we follow. And God says the gifts are ready and available for everyone. So last week I mentioned there's only one solution for being unaware. And that is what? Become aware. Don't say you don't know about the gifts. Get ready to know them. There's only one solution for being ignorant in the knowledge of the gifts. What is it? Become learned about the knowledge of the gifts. 1 Peter 2, 3 says, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Crave spiritual milk so you grow in full experience. Cry out for the nourishment now that you've tasted the Lord's kindness. If you've tasted the Lord's goodness, you should want more. Oh, so I'm going to take you through the gifts. 11 o'clock service, we'll hear it a little differently because I'll slow it down. Now I got to race it through. But don't worry, I'm going to break it down in the fall, God helping me. Should the Lord tarry, if I'm not gone up, I'll break it down. If you're still here, you better be breaking it down yourself. Spiritual gifts are given for all to operate in the kingdom of God. Don't go ahead of me there. I'll just do one at a time. So here we go. Here are the spiritual gifts that are in 1 Corinthians 12. The message of wisdom. This is a message from God given with practical insight and guidance directed by the Holy Spirit. This wisdom gift helps to guide people into right thinking, right assessing, wise decision, making wisdom choices that shocks people even in your workplace. And they'll say, how did you know that? Because you have the wisdom gift. Next one is the message of knowledge. This is a gift. It's a statement inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, revealing truth about someone or something that was not otherwise gleaned through earthly means. There are people who come and give you a word of knowledge from them, and it's not a word of knowledge. It's what they think about you. But when it's a word of knowledge, nobody else but Jesus knows what they just shared with you, and that's the confirmation. It's a special supernatural act. Word of knowledge, it gives you biblical truth. truth that a person would never hear or understand elsewhere except for God downloading it. Then there's faith. This is not the same gift as saving faith. Saving faith is where Christ called you into salvation. But this is now the faith that extends beyond that. It's a special supernatural faith, exceptional belief in what God is able to do through you. The gift of faith enables a believer to step into God's extraordinary power and believe for miraculous events to happen. It's a gift. Healing. The gift of healing is given to the believers in the church to pray for the restoration of physical health by the supernatural power of Jesus Christ, our resurrected King. And when the gift of faith is present, the gift of healing operates organically and many sick are healed. Do you know if the gift of faith is operating in this house? If your gift is a gift of faith and you're sitting here and somebody's begging for healing over there, healing will happen. Matthew 13, 58, Jesus did not do many miracles. Why? There was a lack of faith. We're going to grow in these gifts. Then there's miraculous powers. These are the supernatural gifts, that acts that God desires for us to believe for. The gift, this gift believes for the supernatural power of Almighty God to change the normal course of nature. Like I just said about Congo. I'm asking God to change the natural course of nature. PPCers, how many were at that July 1st service when we stood there and watched the rain cloud over us? Raise your hands high, good and high. Raise it good and high because there are many new people. Good and high. Wave it for them to see. We stood outside preparing for an outdoor, keep waving it, an outdoor service. We're preparing, and the rain cloud is coming. It got dark. When the wind begins to blow, the cloud is about to come. What did we do? I said, friends, let's pray that cloud away. What did we do? We watched it move away from us. That is the gift of the miraculous power of God, where we believe for divine intervention, even while half the people in the car thought God can't do it. Didn't he put the cloud there? Why can't he move it? Prophecy is a gift to help the church stay grounded and guarded in Scripture. But Paul had to give a lot of teaching on this one, and I'm looking forward to this part. Many believers do not recognize the danger of stepping out in their own flesh, in their own superiority desire to use the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is a temporary, momentary expression of God revealing deep truth to the church or to a believer. It's a periodic gift. Anybody who tells me I'm running to a prophet, I'm going to say bring a stone too. Because in the Old Testament, when they prophesied, if it didn't come through, they could stone them to death. And God allowed that to happen so they would not speak on God's behalf when God didn't speak. There's a lot of people calling them prophets. And in Jeremiah, he says their prophets are lying. They're not prophesying, their prophets are lying. We'll talk about that later on, because this is an abused gift, because it gives a superiority where I'm prophesying something over you. Well, then if it doesn't come through, give me a stone and let me throw it at you, because God has set judgment over that. We'll talk about that later. But it's a great gift when you have it. I'm going to tell you, I have operated in the gift of prophecy. But I've been very careful, especially as an evangelist. When people came and said, evangelist, because they heard me prophesy things that came to pass. They said, can you give me a word? I said, I can only give a word that God gives. If you remember back in Exodus and Numbers, you don't give what God didn't give you. Because sometimes we'll look at somebody's life and we see something or heard something and then we go talk something. That's just talk. Wait till we get there. Can't wait. Discernment, known only as distinguishing between spirits. This is a gift so absolutely necessary for the church, for all believers. The gift of discernment is our protection. It keeps us in faith. It helps us to see our future. It helps us not to be sidetracked. There's a spirit of the dark world that tries to trip God's people up, and there's a misrepresentation. Matthew 24 says, the misrepresentation of the word will only increase in times before times from now, and the most knowledgeable can be deceived if they have not sought God for this gift of discernment. Every believer should be asking God, give me discernment, because I'll tell you, in these days, especially with AI, everything's going to look good. But as I said last week, not everything's good. There's coming a time you won't be able to tell between human and made, man-made. You will not be able to tell between machine and people. You won't know who's saying what. They can make me look 15. Right? Some of you on your Instagram putting out some AI generated. Go back and put your own self on. And by the way, those of you that are on dating apps, and we don't discount it because it's hard to find good people. I'm so glad that those days are over. But those of you that are on there, put out your real self and ask God for discernment to discern that little liar. Just a word of caution. Everybody ought to be praying for the gift of discernment. Do you know you're going to have to get that gift? If you don't beg anything, I'll beg faith and beg discernment. Because we're going to be tripped up in these days. I'll leave that for now. Bible says in Matthew, many will be deceived, many will be misled. Then they're speaking in different kinds of tongues. Tongues is a supernatural language, an expression of God's Spirit flowing upon the life of the consecrated believer. Let me go back to discernment. I can't wait till we get there. I got to go back. Do you know why churches are messed up around the world? You know why churches are messed up here and everywhere? Because there's no discernment. Because we listen to people. Because we grab what people have to say, because we elevate some, and because we discount others, because we look for popularity and we look for fame. Because people are, you notice sometimes even in big churches, there'll be 10,000 and then the leader falls and the church has gone down to zero. Why? Because there was no discernment sitting in that house, because all they were doing was following a celebrity. And that sometimes we have celebrities even in church that we make the celebrity and we didn't discern and ask God, is that the right spirit for the church? Be careful when you're hearing. Go back and say, God, why is that person talking so much? Because when you come to the house of the Lord, your talk should be glorifying God, edifying others. Not just, oh, I can't wait for the fall. Oh, God, help me. Keep me alive. Interpretation of tongues. This is a gift, special ability given to understand and communicate the meaning of a message of God, which is divinely sent in tongues to the church. And this is a different tongues to the tongues of a prayer language. We're gonna go through all of that. So I want to just encourage you today regarding, there's the gifts. It's on the sheet I gave you. Those that are online, you can get it online or you can get it in-house. Spiritual gifts should not be sought for selfish reasons, such as honoring yourself or making yourself more powerful. Spiritual gifts should never be used in pride for personal recognition or personal gain. You know, there are people who make gain with their spiritual gift. That's harlots. It's called spiritual harlotry. Spiritual gifts are given to the church for what? For the growth of the entire church. How should the church grow? Spiritually. Not carnally. Not just physically. There are churches that have 10,000, but there's no spiritual life. Spiritual gift is for the spiritual growth of the church. And so, every believer has a place in the body of Christ. Every believer has been called to fulfill God's will and God's purpose. But only the Almighty God decides which gift you will get. Every believer should believe in a gift. Every believer should desire a gift. Every believer should be wanting a spiritual gift. Those of us that operate in gifts should pray for the rest. I operate in multiple gifts. I'm not boasting. I know it. That's why God propelled me around the world. That didn't start as a job for me. It started when, as a young girl in Evangel Pentecostal Church, I used to hold all-night prayer meetings so that my friends would come into the kingdom of God. And my pastors began to see, this girl has a faith and a tenacity. By the way, to my Nigerian congregation, I can't do those all-nighters anymore. It takes me 2 days to recuperate. Anybody say amen with me? Young people, we need you to do. That's why he says, I call you when you're young. But every believer should be operating in a spiritual gift. If you're not saved, not giving your heart to the Lord, you must seek the gift. Because saved people, sorry, you must seek to be saved. But once you're saved, Holy Spirit is living in you. And so you need to be seeking the gifts of the Spirit. I want to encourage you today, every person. How am I going to close today's service? See, it's Pentecost Sunday. I keep mentioning that I'm an evangelist because I miss these days on the road. Do you know, this is one of those Sundays. This, Easter, these are the ones that I'd be booked 2-3 years in advance with multiple requests. I'm not boasting, I'm telling you the truth. Because I so believe in Pentecost and I so believe in the cross that I'll preach everything out of me. Pentecost Sundays, I loved going into churches. I did it here many times, didn't I? Calling people to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll pray till I drop. I've done it in Newfoundland where we prayed till 3 a.m, watching people get filled with the Holy Spirit. So I love Pentecost Sunday. And I could do that today, but you're not ready because you haven't even prayed and asked God for a gift. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close this service today. You're going to pray for a gift, but you're going to keep this sheet until September. And we'll tell you from the second Sunday in September, we're going to go back to the gifts. And you're going to come by then prepared. Prepared to be using the gifts, to be moving in the gifts, to be operational in the gifts, to know what your gift is. See, if I ask you today, let's pray for the gifts, you're like, oh God, give me a gift. But you didn't go and read the word. You didn't seek. You didn't, you're not fasting. You're not ready. So we're joking. And I don't have time for jokes. With time's too short. Too many are dying. Young men, young women are on the streets everywhere doing everything. We don't have time to joke. So I'm going to ask you to keep those sheets. Write your name on it. Put it in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you should have had a Bible. Order a study Bible. Start reading on it. Because as you do, and as you worship, as we're going through worship, even tonight as you come, God, I've been asking everybody to pray for my healing, but give me the gift of healing so that when I'm healed, I'll go pray for others to be healed.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.